Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, softball in the house this morning. Head coach Cindy Ball is with us, along with junior pitcher Rainey Dyerson and infielder Carly Johnson.
Woo! Yeah!
Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
It all gets started for you down in Tempe, Arizona, on Thursday.
Yes, it does. We're excited.
And tell us a little bit about who you'll be playing South Dakota, but who you'll be facing in the Tempe, Arizona tournament.
Well, we have people from all over the nation. We're facing Tennessee, Northwestern, Indiana, St. Mary's. There's six of them, so I'm only focusing on South Dakota. That's game one. But and then Stanford. So we're facing people from all different conferences and just, you know, different areas. So it's going to be fun. We haven't faced a few of the teams in a while, and we're excited for that challenge. And like I said, we're taking one game at a time. So we'll be down there for 4 days to play six games.
Are any of the teams down there supposed to be among the elite in the country?
Tennessee is ranked pretty high. Mm-hmm. And then Northwestern, Indiana, Stanford, they've, you know, in the last decade have gone to regionals quite often. And South Dakota's got a new coach and they're up and coming. And St. Mary's is always that thorn in your side, you know, that team that always continues to compete and will never give up until the end of the game. So it's going to be a fun, diverse weekend, I guess you could say.
You're coming off a 33-win season, postseason appearance. What are you looking for this year?
Well, last year was great. You know, Team 9 was awesome, and this year we're Team 10. And we are looking for a new season. Every season's a new season. It's a great building point to have that experience in postseason, and a lot of returners that got to experience that. And we did compete this fall and beat some very good teams and competed well. And so it's fun to watch these girls take what happened last year and make it their own. And we're never going to settle. We want more. So it's fun to see them hungry and trying to get 1% better every day.
Who have you lost from last year's team? I mean, I know they'll be replaced, but who?
Right. Well, we graduated our senior pitcher who threw quite a few innings for us. We had seven that graduated. Mm. So we graduated our third baseman, our center fielder, a DP, and a few players that would come in, like a backup catcher. So, I mean, we did lose quite a few role players that, you know, that helped us and impact players. And it's been nice to see some of our returners take on and, you know, jump into those shoes. And we have a very strong freshman class that's come in as well. So,
Rainey, you picked seventh out of nine teams. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, those are the types of things that fuel our fire, and all we can focus on is ourselves and how hard we work. So those people don't get to see how hard we work and what we do, and all that matters is we watch each other, we pick each other up, and we work hard every single day. And I'm honored to just be on the team, and we're going to come out, fight for every single game, and we're going to work our hardest, and wherever we fall in the lineup, we fall in the lineup. But at the end of the day, we just know we're going to give our all, and that's all that matters.
Where are you from? Go ahead.
I'm from Twin Falls, Idaho. Woohoo! Idaho, represent! Yeah.
We're both from there, too.
Yeah, and it's awesome. I love being an Idaho native, getting a chance to, like, represent as a true, you know, Idaho kid. It's awesome. The Bronco community is amazing, and there's just so much support. I'm just so happy to be here.
Does it help at all to be underestimated by other teams?
Yeah, I think so. But like I said, at the end of the day, like, we're not thinking about what other people have to say about us. It's all about us. We have one focus, and that's Team 10 and what we're here to do, and we're just here to compete and have fun.
Carly, what's your motto this year?
We are what's next.
We are what's next.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that.
Now, you started 39 games last year. and are expected to play a larger role. So apparently you're going to be stuck in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
No, that's just terrible. Where are you from?
I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. So
they're
get to
going
go home
this
for
weekend,
a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. What do you figure the strength of your team's going to be, Cindy?
I believe the strength of our team is definitely how dynamic we are. It always, you know, you want to say, well, it starts in the circle. And as a former pitcher, I would say, yes, that is true. No. But our culture is so strong, and we have depth, one through 22. And the competition and the competitive spirit, the will to make each other better, that's going to definitely be our strength. We have a very strong pitching staff, so it's going to be hard to put a scouting report on us. And this year I could say we have the full package of power, speed, defense, and the pitching staff.
We're talking with the Boise State softball. It's 8:45.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Talking with Boise State softball. Coach Cindy Ball is here, a couple of players. Coach Rebecca Cervantes, named an All-American. Man, what an honor, huh?
Yes. I mean, it's a preseason nomination, but to get acknowledged like that, really, it's great for our program. It's great for her. And, you know, a little swag or confidence to go out there is always fun.
And it is a sign that you've kind of arrived at a certain level, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there are only a number of people that get nominated for something like that or recognized for something like that. And so for someone from our program to have that is, it speaks volumes to the people around her and to her herself as an individual of how much she's developed and grown over the years.
You said the team this year is a good mix of power and speed and defense. How many brand new players do you have?
We have seven. Mm-hmm. So we have a transfer senior and who with regional experience and very powerful, strong bat. And then we have six freshmen and four position players, two pitchers. So there's a lot of talent there. They've been very successful in high school and with their club teams. So they brought a great mix to our practice and, you know, even put some of us kind of like, oh, we, you know, we got to pick it up here to compete and keep our spot or win a spot. So it's been fun and, it's been a good dynamic, like I've said.
As usual, warm weather schools, San Diego State, San Jose, Fresno State, all kind of, the favorites as you head into conference play. How much of a detriment is the weather, or is it any at all here in Boise?
Well, I mean, we're blessed to have the Cavan Williams facility, so nothing really stops for us. You stated how well we did this past year, and we did not get out on our field to practice until the first weekend of conference last year, which was mid-March. So our first time hitting the dirt was our first game in Hawaii. I think we practiced the day before, right? So it's I can't complain. I, as a coach, really like our practices in the indoor because they're high energy, very close. We get to play loud music, and it's all right there mm-hmm. for us, right? We don't really miss a beat on anything that we need to do. We can throw live. We can play a simulated scrimmage. We have lots of offensive opportunity in there. So I wouldn't say that's a detriment, you know, so to speak.
Well, I drive by your facility, and I haven't noticed the deer there. What have you done to keep the deer away this year?
They're there. We had to stop practice to let some of the kids from California yesterday see them because they hadn't seen them yet. But they're hiding in the corner this year. It's a little different. They're not. I think they're. It's too warm for them. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, they were in the outfield last year. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Rainey and Carly, what are you guys majoring in?
I'm doing communications and marketing.
Mm-hmm. I'm majoring in environmental studies.
What's your ultimate goal? I mean, say like after softball.
Obviously, eventually find a job, but I don't know. I just really like traveling, and I know I can do something like to better the environment, so that's kind of what I want to do.
As for me, I want to be a merchandise buyer, so I kind of want to help pick and choose what shoes and clothes go into stores, but I'm kind of a person that lives day by day, and I'm just flowing with the wind. Wherever it takes me, it takes me, you know?
Well done.
Free spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. Okay, ladies, best of luck this weekend. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right. KBOI News Time, 8:52.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back on the KBOI live line this morning. Bob Beeler getting ready down there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to call tonight's BSU-New Mexico game. How's it looking, Bob?
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting game because this New Mexico team that Boise State routed back in early January, 90-62, playing a lot better under first-year coach Paul Weir, and they're playing a lot better at home. They are 5-0 in conference games at home. It's a team that shoots more threes than anybody out there in the conference. They've made 265 threes this season, which is an average of 11 a game. So Boise State's going to have to watch the three-point shot. And the Broncos have only won one time ever at the Pit, so it's going to be a tough challenge tonight.
And their coach is probably one or two front runners for Coach of the Year in the conference, right?
Well, I would think so. Third place, 7-4, and I don't think many people expected a whole lot, you know, with what left from last year, taking over from Craig Neal very late in the game. I think Coach Rice would probably be one of the candidates for Coach of the Year. Although he was picked third, the Broncos were picked third to start the season. You know, a lot of games still left to be played. This New Mexico team has got a lot of different players that score. Kind of hard to figure out who the go-to guys are, so it's going to be a challenge tonight.
All right, you're on the air. What time?
7:30 tonight, 8 o'clock tip from the Pit right here on 670 KBOI.
All right, thanks, Bob. Bob Beeler in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Basketball action tonight. Right here on the Voice of the Broncos, it's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hello.
Hello.
Paul J. and Chris on a Tuesday morning.
Well, just ran back into the studio.
Yeah. There's a story out there today that it's about a woman who won the lottery.
Yeah.
And she won $559 million. $59.7 million.
Yeah, exactly. In the Powerball.
She's from New Hampshire, and she is refusing to claim her prize.
So far.
Until she's assured anonymity.
Yeah.
And she may have a compelling reason to seek the guarantee.
However, okay,
but she signed the ticket.
Yeah, here's how it works. If you want to remain anonymous in that particular state, and regardless of whether it's Powerball or Mega Millions or whatever lottery you're playing, different states have different rules.
Right.
Some let you remain anonymous if you want to. Some, they tell you straight out that if you claim the money, we're going to put you on a commercial. That's all there is to it, because that's part of the fun for them anyway. And
to be a trust.
In this particular case, if you sign the back of the ticket with your own name, which, by the way, she did because she read on the ticket, it says be sure and sign it, then you have to show up in person to collect your first payment. You have to be publicized, et cetera, et cetera. And right now she's just being identified as Jane Doe because she doesn't want her name out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be known as now, she's got $500 million. Or whatever it turns out to be.
She did some studying.
Yeah.
And she found out that an exorbitant number of lottery winners have met disastrous ends.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the jackpot of millions or even thousands of dollars can lead to financial ruin or even death. There's a lot of people like members of, I mean, if you win the Powerball, members of your family kill you because you won't give them some of the money or all of the money or half of the money or whatever.
Yeah.
Several recent lottery winners have turned up dead in communities across the country.
Now, quite often, these are people who won some sort of a prize of, you know, like $1.8 million or $3 million or something, and they figure, okay, I'll just, you know, set up a bank account and, you know, get my whole family. And of course, the people come out of the woodwork and they want a piece of it. And mm-hmm. and a lot of people just assume they're entitled to it. Now, $559 million,
a lot of
people could come out of the woodwork, but also, you know, you might have a distant cousin who thinks that they ought to get about $20 million.
Abraham Shakespeare won $30 million in Florida's lottery in 2009. Was found buried in a makeshift grave under a concrete slab three years later.
Not good.
A woman who befriended him, nice friend, and offered to help manage what remained of his winnings, murdered him. She's in prison.
Now, this Jane Doe in New Hampshire, she did sign the back of the ticket in pen, and so her actual name is on the back of the ticket. Now, she hasn't turned it in yet. And, you know, you're not allowed
to have 180 days.
Well, you're not allowed to use whiteout mm-hmm. on the back of the ticket, or you're not allowed to alter it in any way except for signing.
You alter it, the ticket's worth nothing.
However, had she not already signed her name to it, had she written the name of a trust, in other words, she could have gone to a lawyer, an accountant, to somebody, and had them set up a trust.
In New Hampshire,
she could have called it the New Hampshire, you know, Universal Tree Trust, or just anything she wanted to. Just give it a name.
Yep.
And then if she had written that on the back of the ticket, that would be to whom the prize was awarded. Now,
she would let's put it this way, the chief beneficiary. Then.
First of all, you got to get a lawyer or somebody you can trust to do that for you, to set up the whole thing. Which, like, part of the reason it's called a trust is because you have to trust. Part of the reason, not the whole reason. Anyway, the fact that she's already signed the back of the ticket, she wants to go to court and say, I was a little bit ignorant of what to do, and I signed the back of the ticket, and I want to take that back and put the name of a trust that I start because I want to, you know, remain as anonymous as possible. I mean, you know, when she moves and buys a Lamborghini, you know, probably people will know.
And they say first thing you got to do just about if you win a lot of money, you got to move. In Ohio, 47-year-old Deborah McDonald run over and killed after leaving a bar where she'd been celebrating her win. All she won was $5,500, and she was going to buy wedding rings for her and her husband, and bang.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dampier won an Illinois lottery jackpot of $20 million. He moved with his family to Florida on July 26, 2005. He was murdered by his sister-in-law and her boyfriend. Nice. 2007 Georgia lottery winner Doris Murray had planned to use her $5 million in winnings to start a trust fund for her grandchildren. She was found stabbed to death. Murray's ex-boyfriend was charged in her death. And like you said a few minutes ago, people assume they somehow deserve that money.
Well, yeah.
And they're convinced of it. Billy Bob Harrell won $31 million in the Texas Lotto. He was thrilled. He quit his job, gave money to the needy. He was hounded by people asking for donations. Later made a deal with a company that gives winners lump sum payouts instead of annual payments and ended up broke.
Here's my question for you.
Killed himself.
Here's my question for you. Most people that you talk to, because, you know, everybody, I guess, at some point or another, with some exceptions, like, for instance, my grandma never bought a lottery ticket in her life, and she said that she had no intention of doing so because she didn't want to earn money that way. And I thought, well, you know, that's
kind who would win it.
That's noble.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, why turn it down? I'm thinking. But anyway, so some people have no interest in it whatsoever, and some people have, you know, never bought a lottery ticket and have never even thought about it. But the people who have thought about it, you know, are always saying, oh, the first thing I'd do is this, and then I'd do this, and of course I'd, you know, change my phone number and do all this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people who think about it, the first thing everybody says is that they would like to remain anonymous. Yep. If at all possible.
Yep.
Nobody wants to, you know, all of a sudden turn into a Kardashian, you know, to just jump out in the spotlight and say, hey, everybody dig me. They want to just all of a sudden, you know, just have security and have that feeling of security without necessarily having the notoriety.
No question.
So why then, since so many people would prefer it that way, why then don't all states have that option where you can simply remain anonymous? I mean, is it really that necessary to parade the person on TV in front of everybody and say, here's our latest, you know, multi-million-dollar or, you know, multi-millionaire, multi-million-dollar winner? Is that absolutely necessary, or does the number itself, I mean, you don't necessarily, when you think about the lottery, you don't think about the people who've won before. Mm-mm. You think about yourself winning.
Yes.
And you picture the number in your mind and what you'd do with it, and basically, you know, probably lying on an island somewhere in the sun.
Yeah. A big culprit in all the bad luck, and I could read you for the next hour, people who have been slaughtered because they won the lottery.
Agreed.
Is how prizes are claimed. Like you say, only two states currently allow lottery winners to remain anonymous out of the 42 states that operate lotteries. With all that attention, problems are bound to happen, perhaps leading to the New Hampshire woman's apprehensiveness. And New Hampshire is one of the states allowing winners to form anonymous trusts.
There are people in this area, in the Boise area, who have won some pretty good lottery jackpots. And I was trying to think if I knew anybody who had actually, you know, won a huge lottery jackpot. And I have met two of the people who won a lot of
Pam
money.
Pam Hyatt.
Yeah, Pam Hyatt was one. Mm-hmm. But I've met two of the people, but it was after they won. I didn't know them beforehand. But one guy I did know beforehand, he won one of those deals where they just pick four numbers, and he won something like $1.8 million. And it was a big surprise to him. But the first thing he did is, interestingly enough, I mean, he set it all up with a bank. He went down to the bank and said, okay, here's what I want to do, and all this sort of thing. And they had people at the bank that helped him. So he didn't necessarily hire a lawyer, didn't necessarily get a private accountant, but he had people at the bank, you know, put it in some sure thing investments, in other words. And the first thing he did is, his father had always wanted to go fishing in Alaska, so he took his father fishing in Alaska.
I like it.
Yeah, and it was great. And his, you know, dad was an elderly guy, and so he took him up on a salmon fishing vacation in Alaska. The next thing he did is, he'd always wanted to own a kind of a farm or a place out in the country, and he bought one.
I like it.
And so, you know, that's great.
Edward Ugel wrote a book called Money for Nothing, One Man's Journey Through the Dark Side of Lottery Millions. Mm-hmm. He said, of the thousands of lottery winners I knew, only a few were happy, and a few lived happily ever after. You'd be blown away to see how many winners wish they'd never, ever won.
And it's funny, because people who actually work their tail off for money tend to be happier.
Yeah. It's 9:16.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul, Jay, and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
KBOI News Time is 9:21. Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Tuesday morning, talking about the curse of winning the lottery.
Yeah. A lot of people would wish that curse on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They would.
You know, and you hear a lot of people say that. You know, if I ever won that, I wouldn't go crazy and be an idiot. I would just, you know, be real cool about it.
I don't think.
Want to know how I'd be?
How?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Never come close to that before.
I don't think that's about what I was going to say. I don't think that we realize the pressures of everybody, fringe acquaintances, in your face with their hands out, almost demanding you give them money that they don't deserve. I mean, it's...
Let's put it this way. If I ever go a full year in my life without ever paying for something I didn't intend to, then I will give you an answer to that question.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have yet to do that.
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not saying I've blown huge, you know, sums of money, but small sums.
Yeah, yeah.
Many times. Are we waiting for something?
Yeah, yeah, I am waiting for something here. All right, so let's go to the phones. Gary of Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Gary.
I was listening on the phone and talking to the screener before, and I don't know if you got to it or not, but one of the reasons why probably the states require that you make yourself known when you win the lottery is the very reason that people would not trust
that
the money went to anyone. They'd think that it went to some insider that was in the lottery commission or whatever, unless they knew that it was paid out to someone.
I had never thought of that.
Well, I actually had, and then I thought, well, you know, like Powerball is a national thing. But still, it does open that door.
Yeah, you know, you think about people in other states, and I got to tell you, when I read about someone, say, in Chicago winning the lottery, I always go, well, is that somebody in Chicago, one of the boys, you know?
Well, what was it? Was it Albertsons or McDonald's or somebody's who had their Monopoly game or whatever? They were fixing the winner. Remember that?
Way back, yeah.
Way back. It's been a long time ago.
Well, I'll tell you what. Lottery stories, I'll give you one real quick. For a number of years, I sold cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I was selling cars in Central Coast of California. And then one day, this couple came in and bought a nice, very new used car. And I was talking to them, and I did the financial on it. And they were lottery winners. And they had won years before, and they were perfectly happy and had a nice life. And they said, you know, we didn't go out and spend all our money. They had a nice house close to the shore in Morro Bay, which was no mansion, but a nice house in a nice neighborhood. And they had another house, and they were taken care of. And they bought used cars, not new cars. And, you know, they were just moderate in their consumption and wound up being very happy.
I would like to think that's what I would do. I would like to think that. Gary, thanks for the call. We are out of time. It's 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
It's 9:36, Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Tuesday morning. Let's go to the phones. And Jim, good morning.
Morning, how's it going?
Good.
Well, I came here in 1984, and I'll let you guys in on something. This place is considerably conservative and considerably religious. I've always wondered why the populace here would condone gambling or why they would condone a government that condones gambling. I mean, I'm not overly a Bible beat or anything else, but it just seemed weird. I mean, you know, I guess if the government runs gambling, then it's okay, but they'll just keep all competition out.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, when I first got here, there was nothing. I mean, there was no gambling at all. There was no lottery. There was no parimutuel horse racing. There was nothing.
There was jackpot.
Which is in Nevada.
Yeah, well, no,
that's true.
Well, you know, okay, if it were up to me, you know, if it were up to me, there'd just be along Nevada. And if you've got enough money to get to Nevada, you probably got enough money to gamble. But, I mean, and they say it robs the poor, you know, some poor son of a bitch thinks he's, you know, he's going to hit the big time. And like you were saying, I mean, that's not a good thing. Bad things happen, and I don't know. I'll tell you my little story. Back in 1987, I went down to California, broke my leg, was in the hospital, didn't have insurance, right? So I have an operation. I get out of the hospital. I hobble down to a liquor store. I buy one lottery ticket. I thought, okay, this is going to be poetic. I'm going to buy one lottery ticket. You know, it'll you know, win, and, you know, well, anyway, I didn't win, and that's the one lottery ticket I've ever bought.
That would have bought one.
It would have made it a better story.
Yeah, it would have been.
Well, yeah, but I, you know, luckily, I don't like gambling, so, you know, I don't have that problem. But, I mean, I don't know. All these people, they claim to be morally upright and everything, but, hey, the lottery, what the hell? You know, let's do that.
Money for schools.
That's what they say. That's what they. But that should be, if you want to pay for schools, tax or whatever, you know. That's the easy way out, and I don't think it's a good way out.
Yeah, people without kids complain.
Yeah. Well, I don't have kids, but whatever.
Yeah.
Kids are our future. Oh, my God. Anyway. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Mm. Jim's crazy.
Okay. I mean, you know what? You and I don't. Okay, I know that you've been to Las Vegas lots of times. You've been to Reno lots of times, and so have I. We've gone down there for ball games and all sorts of different reasons. And you, I've never seen spend a lot of money gambling. I mean, I've seen you play a slot machine.
I play the horses.
Yeah, that's true. You play the horses.
I play slot machines a little bit.
I've never seen you play the horses to the detriment of your family.
No. If I lose, you know.
Yeah.
I always have a set amount of money, and if I lose that money, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. I like to save enough for the buffet.
Well, yeah, but I do not like to. I like to gamble, but I do not like to lose money gambling.
Right.
And if I start losing money gambling, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I am done.
You know what's funny?
But there are those apparently who I have a friend who said to me one time, don't you ever write a check when you don't have money in the bank just knowing you're going to win?
No.
No.
I mean, I don't.
No.
And neither do you, I'm sure.
No. Don't do that.
Do you know?
No.
Do you know what the number one most profitable game for casinos in, if you combine Las Vegas, Reno, you know, Jackpot, Wendover, all the little places, all over, you know, Winnemucca, Elko, whatever, every place in Nevada, in the entire state of Nevada, what the number one most profitable game is for casinos?
You're going to say Keno or something.
No, I'm not.
In the head.
No.
Wheel of Fortune.
Well, I don't mean that specific.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But it is penny slots.
Yeah.
When they went to, you know, it used to be a nickel was the lowest slot machine.
But they get the penny ones, but the thing is, you got to put in 57 pennies.
Exactly right. And so you put in a buck, and then you play 57 pennies, and then you got to put in another buck to play your next 57 pennies, et cetera, et cetera. They make more money on penny slots than on anything else, and the reason people pay penny slots is because it's the cheapest thing to play.
It's the cheapest thing to play, plus you get return. I mean, the return is pretty good, but you steadily lose.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't lose your whole dollar. You lose.
It's almost
73
like,
cents.
It's almost like the casinos planned it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't build those big buildings out of air.
But you know,
they build it out of your money.
But poker tournaments and crap tables and you'd think blackjack might be the most profitable game, but it's not. No, the most profitable game is penny slots.
I don't really trust anyone.
And I think it's because, people who do not consider themselves to be risky or gamblers will still play penny slots.
Mm-hmm. And I know people who say, I never lose. I go down there, I play poker, I play this, I play that.
I am not one of those
and
people.
And I never lose. I'm going, really? Why aren't you living down there then?
I only came back from Nevada one time with more money than I left with, and it's because I put a quarter into a machine in, are you ready for this? McDermott. On the way back.
27 feet
we stopped
from
to get,
Oregon.
We stopped to get, yeah, exactly. We stopped to get coffee and use the restroom and whatnot. and it was a Wheel of Fortune machine, come to think of it. And in fact, I had like five or six quarters, and I put them all in at one time, thinking, I'm just going to get these out of my pocket.
Yeah.
And I did, but then I had a whole jar full of quarters. But that was the only time I ever came back with more money.
Yeah. Gamblers are unique folks. And people who say that We don't want to have gambling here because gambling ruins a lot of life. If somebody is going to gamble,
yeah,
and they live in Idaho and you don't have gambling in Idaho, mm-hmm, they're going to go to Nevada.
Here's the deal.
They're going to go somewhere else, Atlantic City. They're going to go somewhere.
Here's the deal. When it comes to municipal laws and things like that about mm-hmm vices, mm-hmm, I say if you're going to be consistent, I mean, well, if you're going to have those laws, then be consistent. Mm-hmm. If the point of not having gambling is that it will ruin lives, well, then get rid of alcohol, too.
Oh, no, Stan makes too much money off alcohol. They make a lot of money off alcohol.
Well, then come up with a different reason for the stuff you banned.
But remember when Les Bois Park had the historical horse racing?
I do.
And they were open till 2.
Right.
And the people in Garden City, certain people in Garden City said, you know what?
Would you like me to name them?
Yeah.
Okay.
There will be murders and rapes and people and disgusting people at 2 o'clock in the morning doing drugs in the parking lot. There was none of that.
That's true.
There was none of that anywhere. People who play and gamble, that's what they want to do. They don't want to, you know.
Well, and
they don't want to do all this other stuff.
And you remember when
they're just people.
But you remember when, if you were gambling, it meant you were in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And then about 1977, it meant you were in Nevada or you were in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Right.
And now, you know, the next place it went was the Mississippi River, and then after that, the Gulf Coast, and then on and on and on. And, of course, Indian reservations picked up on the fact that they weren't necessarily subject to the exact same laws as mm-hmm everybody else. And then it went from there. But there is legal gambling in something like 47 states now.
Yeah, yeah, including Idaho.
Yeah.
It's 9:45.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI. Just long enough to grab a handle off the top.
Next stop, Chi-Town, Leo, put the money down. Man, I went through a Boskaggs period when I was younger. Love Boskaggs.
I'm probably still in mine, technically.
He was the first artist who would not let you smoke in the audience of his...
is that right?
Yeah, nightclub act.
You know, the only time I've ever been... Well, I mean, I don't smoke anyway, but the only time I've ever been to a place to see a band where they told us that there was no smoking whatsoever. I mean, you know, you can't smoke like in any of the arenas now.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time I went to like a bar setting to see a particular band and they mm-hmm said we couldn't smoke, it was Grand Funk.
Yeah, really?
Because I can't think of his name, but their lead singer... He was very, very anti-smoking.
Yeah, as is Boskaggs. All right,
yeah,
let's go to the phones and Mark of Nampa. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just got a couple of comments on the gambling thing or whatnot.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to go over to Les Bois every Saturday or whatnot when it ran, and, you know, I'm retired, and okay, if I lost $50 or $100, it wouldn't be any big deal. I mean, if I lost it for a year, well, then I'd, you know, take a second look at it.
Yeah.
But if those legislatures didn't know that those were slot machines down there, they're a bunch of idiots and deserve to be in office, as far as I'm concerned. All you had to do is take one look at them. But I go down to Jackpot about 3-4 times a year. And I take a certain amount of money with me, and if I lose it, well, that's all right. But it's enough that they comp me for everything, which I'm pleased about. I'm paying for it, you know,
sure.
it is. And for all you people like me that play the stock market, which I've been doing since 1965, that's the world's biggest casino.
And you should see it today, man. It's up 300. It's down 300. It's
I watch it every day.
I
saw it in the 10 minutes yesterday that it dropped 1,000 points. But then I watched it, back in 2008 and 2009, and I started buying in the fall of 2008, figuring that was near the bottom when it was around 8,200, but it had another 1,600 to fall by till it got to March 9th when it hit its bottom.
There was a point yesterday when I think it was down 700, and I went to do something and came back 3 or 4 minutes later, and it was down 1,500.
Yeah, Yeah, I on Friday, just for the heck of it, I picked up some stock or whatever, since then, it's down 23 cents. I bought 1,000 shares of it, but it's down 23 cents. Big deal.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of them that will fall. There was what they called a VIX index, which measures volatility. It went down from 115 down to $15 yesterday.
Wow.
And, well, they're closing it out, and that's what they figure caused the 1,000-point point drop. That some hedge fund was in there the wrong way, and as the VIX, the volatility index, goes down, you have to sell stock to cover it or whatnot, and that'll come out in a few weeks or whatnot, that somebody big got caught going the wrong way.
It's possible. I mean, I figured it just started happening because everybody had this sense of this can't last forever.
Well, it's a correction. I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah, that's all it is a correction, for God's sakes. It just made 10% today. For the few days, but the 10% correction is no big deal. It's just that it sounds like a lot of points because we're up in the 20,000s.
Yeah.
Don't forget, this thing sprang from about 6,600 in 2009 on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's probably whatever. I think it's gone up 6,000 points since Trump was in there, and I love this now. As it was going up, they were not giving Trump credit, the media or whatnot, maybe not you guys, but they were saying, well, that's Obama's thing. Now the headlines are, this is the Trump market. Jeez.
That's so true. So true.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Gave you high news time. It's 9:55.
Debbie years ago worked for Dean Witter, like in the 80s, mm-hmm. and she was watching that yesterday, and she said, well, if these kind of numbers had been happening when I was doing this sort of thing, she said all the lights would have been off and everybody would have been hiding under their desk.
Well, the percentages would have been much different.
That's true. It's a lot bigger than it used to be.
See you tomorrow on Idaho Talks Live. Have a great day.